This is Bad Cop, No Donut for the week of October 20th, 2005.
Hi, police! Police!
Bad Cop, No Donut!
Bad.
Cop.
No. Donut!
It's under the law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. Events are planned nationwide this Saturday, October 22nd, the 10th annual National Day of Protest to stop police brutality, repression, and the criminalization of a generation. In San Jose, California, there will be a rally at 11 a.m. Saturday at 647 South King Road. In Fresno, California, there will be a vigil to remember people killed by the police at 5:30 p.m. Saturday in front of the main library at Mariposa and N. There will be a Cop Watch conference in San Diego, California. In Santa Ana, California, people will gather at noon at the corner of McFadden and Bristol for a march to the police department. In Los Angeles, there will be a march and rally starting at 1 p.m. at Olympic and Broadway. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, there will be a rally and march starting at 2 p.m. in PV Park. In New York City, there will be a rally and march starting at 2 p.m. at Madison Square Park. In Greensboro, North Carolina, there will be a protest on Friday at 4:30 p.m. on Market Street in front of the old courthouse. In Cleveland, Ohio, at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday, there will be a rally and march from Tower Square to City Hall. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there are a number of events planned for Saturday starting at 11 a.m. at the corner of Center Avenue and Crawford Street, including a march to the county courthouse. In Seattle, Washington, people will meet for a march and rally at noon in Westlake Park. Events are also planned in San Francisco, California, Tucson, Arizona, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and elsewhere. Visit October22.org for more information. A Riverside, California police officer already convicted for his part in a Wisconsin child sex ring was returned to California to face charges that he sexually assaulted four young boys. According to the Riverside Press Enterprise, Officer Adam Brown arrived in California last Thursday and is expected to be arraigned later this week. He will be facing 65 charges relating to the sexual abuse of four boys over a four-year period when Brown was a school resource officer. He's accused of abusing one of his victims more than 100 times. If convicted, Brown could receive 35 life sentences. In July, Brown was sentenced to 30 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to one count of crossing state lines to have sex with a child and one count of producing child pornography. In that case, he was accused of traveling to Wisconsin in 2002 to have sex with boys provided by a man who he had met on the internet. A California Highway Patrol officer was sentenced on Friday to 120 days in prison for trying to force a woman to have sex with him while he was on duty. KXTV reports that Officer William Cummins pulled over a woman for speeding in May 2004 and said he would let her go without a ticket if she performed a sex act on him. The woman says that Cummins threatened to arrest her and to have her deported. The woman is also an undocumented immigrant. She refused the officer and was allowed to leave without being ticketed. In May of this year, Cummins was arrested and charged with one count of attempted oral copulation under color of authority, one count of false imprisonment by violence, and one count of soliciting a bribe. He was fired at the time of his arrest. All of the charges became one count of false imprisonment in May in exchange for the officer's guilty plea. On Monday, a sheriff's deputy in Orange County, California, was ordered to stand trial after being accused of threatening other golfers with a gun in July. The Associated Press says that Deputy Raymond Yee waved his gun at golfers and displayed his badge because he thought they were playing too slowly. Yee is facing two counts of assault with a firearm and two counts of making criminal threats. He will appear in court next on November 1st.
This is not a small deal. This is a big deal because it not only has to do now with criminal charges that are pending against these guys, but it has to do with the integrity of the agency.
three Spokane County, Washington sheriff's deputies accused of staging a fake police chase were suspended last Friday. An Associated Press report says that the unnamed deputies were observed by a city police officer who assumed that the chase was real and radioed for assistance. Another city officer used a spike strip to bring a car driven by two of the deputies to a stop. A city squad car was damaged in the incident.
We knew where he was, he knew where we were, and we weren't leaving without him.
When I went back in July, when he told me what took place, he never cried. He put his head down a few times when he gave me some of the gore. But that was it.
I think she's up in heaven looking down, having a glass of wine, going, thank you, everybody, finally some closure. And
a former Vancouver, British Columbia police officer who was already in prison for murder was charged with another murder last Wednesday. CTV reports that Brock Graham had been out on three dates with the woman who he is now accused of killing in 1993. The victim's skull was found 1 year later, but the rest of the body remains undiscovered. Graham is currently serving a sentence for a 1996 murder. A police officer in Anchorage, Alaska, was arrested Tuesday on child pornography charges. KTVA reports that Officer Brian Herrera faces three felony counts of possession of child pornography and one count of distribution of child pornography. Herrera is being held in custody and has been placed on paid administrative leave from his job. Police began investigating the officer last week after they received a tip from a daycare provider. In June, Anchorage police officer Sammy Cohen was arrested for sexually abusing a child over a 2-year period. The sheriff in Job County, Utah, dumped a homeless man accused of theft in a neighboring county. KUTV says that the sheriff of the other county is outraged. The man was arrested for theft after he refused to pay for a meal at a restaurant, but instead of being booked into the county jail, he was driven to another county and released. The man had an extensive criminal history, including child molestation. Officials in St. Paul, Minnesota, have agreed to settle a police brutality lawsuit for $115,000. The Star Tribune says that police were accused of an unprovoked attack on a man on New Year's Eve 2001. The man says he was kicked, beaten, and had his head smashed into the pavement by police officers after he refused to allow them to enter his home. He was subsequently sprayed with pepper spray and punched by an officer after he was handcuffed. The incident was witnessed by the man's three daughters. In July, a grand jury found that officers Jason Bain and David Stokes used excessive force against the man. The victim of the beating was charged with possessing fireworks. A police officer in St. Louis, Missouri, was sentenced last Friday to 7 years in prison for sexually assaulting two children under the age of 14. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch says that Officer Dennis Thuvenet committed the assaults over a 2-year period. In August, he pleaded guilty to 3 counts of statutory sodomy and 4 counts of child molestation. Lawyers for alleged torture victims of Chicago police asked the Organization of American States for an investigation last Friday. WBBM reports that the attorneys have asked for an on-site look at 135 cases of alleged torture between 1972 and 1991. Testimony was also heard from a man who was 18 when he was tortured by police officers 22 years ago. A Gary, Indiana police officer was arrested on Monday for beating up his girlfriend. The Post-Tribune reports that police responding to a domestic disturbance at the home of Sergeant Lewis Clyborn found his girlfriend crying on the front porch, bleeding and beaten, with chunks of her hair missing. His girlfriend told police that Clyborn had beaten her in the past. He has been charged with domestic battery and is currently free on bond. He has been suspended from his job and will appear in court next on November 1st. A police officer in Covington, Kentucky, pleaded guilty last Thursday to threatening his wife with a gun while he was drunk. The Cincinnati Inquirer says that Officer Steve Gifford pleaded guilty to 1 count of second-degree wanton endangerment as part of a plea deal after originally being charged with first-degree wanton endangerment. A judge set aside his 90-day sentence, provided that he undergoes drug and alcohol assessment, does not drink alcohol, and does not commit a crime in the next 2 years. Gifford must also pay a $200 fine and complete anger management classes. His plea to the lesser charge means that Gifford can continue to work as a police officer.
911, what's your emergency, please? Fire ambulance.
We're having to talk about it, and they're not letting us out. 911, please. Oh, my God, I can't believe this.
A police officer in Cleveland, Ohio, pleaded not guilty on Friday to what prosecutors are calling a racially motivated attack. WEWS reports that Officer William Forrest was arrested last Thursday. Forrest and fellow officer Peter Turner allegedly started a fight with a mixed-race couple at a bar last August. Forrest is charged with inciting violence, abduction, and assault. He's free on a $20,000 bond and has been suspended without pay. Turner is charged with assault and will appear in court next week.
Mr. Spence has dishonored his uniform and his badge. These are serious crimes if they're committed by anyone. In this case, the seriousness is aggravated by the fact that he was a police officer and he violated the trust that was placed in him as a police officer. The state of Ohio will be seeking to hold him accountable for the aggravated nature of his crimes.
A Genoa, Ohio police officer pleaded not guilty on Monday to charges that he had sex with two 14-year-old girls. WLWC reports that Officer Edsel Spence was charged last week with unlawful sexual contact with a minor, sexual battery, kidnapping, and rape. Spence is on paid leave from his job and is currently free on a $75,000 bond. A woman in Warren, Ohio, filed a lawsuit this week against the city and several police officers. The Youngstown Vindicator says that the woman and two of her children were mistreated when they were arrested 1 year ago. The woman's son was being held on his knees at gunpoint after officers objected to the language he was using with them. When the woman asked officers why they were mistreating her son, they slammed her to the ground. All charges against the woman and her family were dropped. The defendants in the lawsuit are the City of Warren, officers Doug Hipple and Nick Carney, and other unidentified officers. The lawsuit accused the officers of using excessive force, malicious prosecution, unlawful arrests, civil rights violations, assault and battery, false imprisonment, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. A Toronto police officer who was convicted of a videotaped assault on a Somali immigrant will collect $150,000 over the time spent appealing his conviction and sentence. Global News reports that a recent decision by Toronto Police Chief Bill Blair was made to suspend Constable Roy Preston during the appeal process. The appeal is not expected to be heard within the next year. When all is said and done, the process will likely take more than 2 years to complete. Preston was convicted last month of a videotaped beating. The victim of the beating was charged with assaulting an officer, but the videotape of the incident, which was shot by a tourist, proved that charge was false. The judge who convicted and sentenced Preston said that Preston and other officers set the criminal justice system in motion against an innocent man. Despite this, none of the officers involved have been charged with that crime. Police officers in Montreal, Quebec were videotaped brutalizing a woman last Wednesday. CTV reports that cameras in a news helicopter captured officers punching a woman arrested after a police chase. The videotape also shows the handcuffed woman's head being smashed into a police car before officers apparently closed the car's door on the woman's leg. Another officer then appears to beat or threaten the woman with a flashlight. Residents of Halifax, Nova Scotia, complained of police harassment at a town hall meeting on Monday. The CBC reports that a woman who runs a group to support sex trade workers said that they are constantly being harassed by the police. Visible minority residents complained of racial profiling and harassment. Some citizens said they were not willing to report incidents to the police because they do not trust them. Police in Boston, Massachusetts, have been accused of beating a woman in a wheelchair. The Boston Herald says that officers John Curley and Michael O'Hara are accused of punching the woman when she was handcuffed to her wheelchair. Police say the woman and a friend she was with were panhandling on September 9th, and they were both charged with disorderly conduct. Police claimed the women were blocking the wheelchair access ramp. The women made a recording of the incident. They claim they were harassed earlier by the same officers. The police say they have not received a formal complaint about the incident and there is no investigation into the matter. A New York City police officer was indicted by a grand jury last week after he was accused of having sex with a 15-year-old boy. The New York Post reports that Officer Corey Jefferson met the 15-year-old on the internet and eventually forced the boy to perform a sex act on him in his car. He resigned from his job on October 7th and was arrested the following day. Jefferson has been charged with committing a criminal sexual act and endangering the welfare of a child. Jefferson remains in custody and will appear in court next in December.
Well, I think my initial decision to replace him as chief and to put him on administrative leave with pay was to give me a little bit of time to digest it and to sit back and look at all the circumstances. And I did, and I waited till this morning, and this morning I placed him on suspension without pay. I certainly had a lot of opinion from the public over the weekend, and I also took that into consideration. So at this point, that's what his status is. There's going to be some meetings, I'm sure, between Mr. Rujo and his attorney and the authorities. And at this time, the authorities haven't made or placed any charges against Mr. Rujo. And I'm waiting to see, certainly, if that's going to take place and how severe they are when it does.
State troopers and FBI agents raided two homes belonging to the chief of police in Oswego, New York, last Tuesday. The Syracuse Post-Standard says that the raids of Chief William Ruggio's property were connected to a stolen property investigation. Police recovered three snowmobiles and an ATV at one of the homes. Ruggio has not yet been charged with a crime and has been suspended with pay from his job. Two of the snowmobiles seized by the investigators appeared to have been stolen from a service garage in Wayne County in December. County records show that Ruggio and his wife own 12 properties in Oswego. His salary as chief of police is less than $75,000 per year. Ruggio has no police certification and therefore cannot carry a police firearm or make arrests. His position as chief is provisional pending his passing of a state civil service exam.
With the Department of Justice coming in and assisting us, it will be a day when we can assure the citizens that we are, as a city, turning the corner toward improving our police department, improving ourselves as a city, and I look on it as being nothing but positive.
The United States Justice Department announced a full investigation of the Easton, Pennsylvania Police Department late last week. An Associated Press report says that the Easton Department has paid millions of dollars to settle police brutality lawsuits. An Easton police officer was recently shot and killed by another officer during a training exercise. The former chief of police, who resigned last month, spoke of a culture of fear, racism, brutality, and harassment in the department. A police commander in Howard County, Maryland, was arrested on Sunday after trying to run over her husband with a car. The Baltimore Sun says that Captain Tara Nelson ran into motorcycles owned by her husband and another man before trying to run into them while driving a car. Neither was injured. Nelson's husband says that she also held a gun to his head to force him to sign a document related to the sale of their home about a month earlier. She's been charged with three counts of first-degree assault and three counts of second-degree assault. Nelson was released on her own recognizance and ordered not to have contact with either of her victims. A police officer in Albemarle County, Virginia, appeared in court on Monday for the first time since his arrest on domestic assault charges last week. WCAV reports that Officer Alan Reed is accused of assaulting his wife. He's currently on administrative leave from his job. Two Newport, Tennessee police officers and a Cook County sheriff's deputy were arrested by federal agents last week. WVLT reports that Officer Patrick Sheldon and Sergeant James Roach are charged with a federal civil rights violation. The case is related to a specific incident and not the ongoing federal investigation into corruption in the county. Deputy Chris Smith has also been arrested, but details of charges against him are not yet available. A state trooper in South Carolina was ordered to pay a $500 fine on Monday after being found guilty of assaulting a hotel worker. The Orangeburg Times and Democrat says that Lieutenant Daniel Webb was accused of hitting a man with his gun during a dispute over a parking space. Webb received a suspended 30-day jail sentence, 2 years of probation, 100 hours of community service, and was ordered to complete anger management training. Webb was suspended from his job after his arrest in March. A police officer in Macon, Georgia, pleaded guilty last Tuesday to sexually assaulting an 18-year-old before changing his mind and withdrawing the plea. The Macon Telegraph reports that when Officer Jerry Galloway was asked if he pleaded guilty because he was guilty of committing the crime, he said yes. The case then proceeded to trial. He's accused of sexually assaulting a woman who he detained at a downtown nightclub in June 2003. He has also been accused, in a separate case, of forcing a 17-year-old to have sex with him under threat of arrest in July 2002. He was charged in July 2004 with two counts of rape, two counts of sexual assault against a person in custody, and two counts of violation of his oath. A police officer in Canton, Mississippi, was sentenced to 5 years in prison last Friday for extortion and conspiracy. The Jackson Clarion Ledger reports that Officer John Burse was involved in a conspiracy to erase auto theft and drug charges against a local barber. He and three other officers were accused of extorting $6,000 from the man. Burse was also ordered to pay a $3,000 fine. In July 2004, Officer Nathaniel Walker was sentenced to 5 years in prison in the same case. He was also ordered to pay a $3,000 fine. Officers William Harper and Terry Walker are still awaiting trial. On Tuesday, a civil rights group called for the suspension of the chief of police in Galena Park, Texas, after he was accused of brutality. KPRC reports that a man claims that Chief Robert Pruitt beat him at the city jail after he was arrested in August. A district attorney is investigating the allegations. A San Antonio, Texas couple who were beaten by police filed a civil rights lawsuit this week against four police officers and the city, seeking $7.5 million. The Associated Press reports that a woman passed out on her way to a park 3 months ago and was assisted by paramedics. When the woman refused medical treatment and her husband intervened, the paramedics called police for assistance. Her husband says that police beat him with a baton and pepper sprayed him. The man and woman were both injured in the attack, which was videotaped by a cell phone belonging to a witness.
So we're actively cooperating with the SEC. We've provided them with tens of thousands of pages of documentation. And, you know, we're confident one of the major topics they're looking at is the taser safety issue. The taser has saved over 8,000 lives from death or serious injury. And unfortunately, those cases are becoming so common where the taser is used to prevent the loss of life that those don't make the news anymore. We feel like we're being criticized because we can't make it risk-free. But we know we're improving it. Things are heading the right direction with taser. This has been a company that's changing the way law enforcement does its job. And I think everybody agrees the taser is a safer choice than shooting someone with a firearm. But what most people don't realize is that the taser is also a far safer choice than getting in a fist fight. I've been shot with the taser 6 times. Every senior executive at Taser has been shot with it, as have many of our wives, some of our children, many of our friends. We know we're making police officers' jobs safer. We have over 8,000 agencies deploying our taser devices today, and we're making the world different. We're making it better. We're making it safer.
I have lost my brother. My mother's lost her son. Or what are they there for, just to kill him?
If our staff assess the situation and say, you know, this is beyond our control, this is something that may cause harm to the individual in need of help, to family members, or to staff, we instruct them to call 911.
I'd rather they have shot him. He might have lived.
A man in Fort Myers, Florida, died last Thursday after he was shocked with the taser by police. A man in Yakima, Washington, died after police shocked him with the taser on Tuesday. A man in Kirksville, Missouri, was hospitalized after being shocked with the taser by police last Thursday. Police used the taser when the man refused to obey their commands. A man and his two sons have filed a lawsuit against the Santa Rosa, California Police Department. The lawsuit claims that officers used a taser on a 17-year-old boy in a wheelchair who suffered from cerebral palsy in February. Officers are also accused of kicking the boy after dragging him from his wheelchair. On Wednesday, a grand jury decided not to press charges against four Houston, Texas police officers who shocked a man with a taser before he died in February. A coroner ruled that the death was caused by psychotic delirium in August. The town council in Los Gatos, California, approved the purchase of 41 tasers for their police department. The chief of police will have a taser policy in place by the time they are on the streets in January. After having them taken away in February, police in Jacksonville, Florida, have been rearmed with tasers, but with a few new conditions. Officers will now only be able to use their tasers when a person physically resists them. School resource officers will carry the weapons, but they may only use them in place of deadly force. The state legislature in Florida will consider a bill that would restrict the use of tasers next year. Under the proposed legislation, police would only be allowed to use the weapons when they are involved in a physical confrontation. They would also be allowed to use the devices when a suspect is considered to be a danger to the public. Police officers would be required to receive 4 hours of training before issued the weapons. One additional hour of training would be required each year. Other than the killings already reported on this week's program, police also killed people this week in Chicago, Illinois, Markham, Ontario, Galloway, New Jersey, Pensacola, Florida, and Altamonte Springs, Florida. That's all for Bad Cop, No Donut this week. Feel free to send in your comments and story ideas. We count on you to keep us up to date with what the police are doing where you live. The email address for this program is ron@ckln.fm. Next week, most of you will hear a special show because of CKLN's annual fundraising drive. CKLN 88.1 FM is Toronto's oldest community radio station and provides a voice for music, art, and information not heard in the mainstream media. CKLN is also the place where Bad Cop No Donut is produced each week. To find out more about CKLN and how you can support us, you can visit us online at ckln.fm. I'm Ron Anisich, and I look forward to telling you more about the police next week. Your punk.